To this day, the Roswell UFO incident remains one of the most intriguing cases of an alleged UFO crash and subsequent recovery. The U.S. military's explanation and documents that support the claim of a secret military project to monitor atmospheric radiation from nuclear testing are seen, by many in the world of ufology, as an attempt to continue the 70-year cover-up of what was really recovered on that New Mexico ranch in July of 1947. The common consensus within the UFO world is that some type of alien craft was recovered. What condition it was in, and exactly what else was transported to the military base located at Fort Worth, Texas, is still a matter of some dispute. One account, from a firefighter who claimed to have responded to the call of smoking debris, mentioned that not only had he seen military personnel recovering objects from the supposed crash site, but also he had witnessed at least three unmoving bodies, and one still upright and walking around the crash site. In 1995, a 17-minute-long film was presented as proof of at least one of those bodies being examined and dissected by military pathologists. While the world at large remained skeptical, this single piece of film has remained controversial and as recently as 2019 continued to maintain its relevance as a piece of modern UFO history. This case file joined the theorists as they drink up and cut up on the alien autopsy.
Welcome to Alien Theorist Theorizing Case File 163, Alien Autopsy. I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Andrew.
You're a floating head.
In the live stream. With a mustache.
Yeah. With a badass mustache.
That's a great looking duster. I'm jealous.
We're only getting started here, boys. I'm going to be looking like the Iron Sheik by the end of the month.
I promise. So are you doing a Movember, except you started with the mustache to start the month. You didn't grow it as you went.
Well, it's like I could have had this in fucking 4 days anyways.
That's true.
So. It's like I shaved just this morning.
Andrew gets a 10 a.m. shadow.
Yeah.
I sneeze and it grows. Just...
I'm back on the booze.
Woo!
1 month. Felt good to clear the body, but I got a goblet of blood here and getting back into it. It's delicious.
Oh, yeah.
In other news, Zell, why don't you tell everyone our other exciting news?
Oh, shit. If you were paying attention to the socials throughout the summer, we had a show going called Cosmic Channels, which we shelved, but it's coming back. It'll be its own standalone show. It's going to be a call-in style show. Think Coast to Coast meets Alien Theorist Theorizing. You call and tell us your stories, and we will we'll grill you on them. We'll have fun with you. We'll theorize. But it's going to be Sunday nights at 6:30 p.m. Pacific time. And
see, now I absolutely love this one because I feel like I'm finally in my element. I don't have to do anything. It's perfect.
Yeah, I'm doing nothing.
And also, it's not us. I can't emphasize it enough. It's not the Alien Theorist Theorizing. It's its own show, so it'll be the Cosmic Channelers channeling.
it'll be Braden, Zell, Dan, and Andrew.
Yeah.
But different show.
Instead of theorizing, we're channeling.
Channeling. On the Cosmic Channels.
Channelizing.
Same, but different. And but the show will not be streamed on Alien Theorist socials. You have to go search on YouTube or Twitch for the first week stream will be on those two channels, the Search Cosmic Channels. You can't miss it. And the number is going to be 833-703-0424. If you forget that, don't worry. It'll be on the socials. Join our Alien Theorist Facebook page. And we'll post it in there.
Yeah.
But that's where it's going. So if you want to get an extra hour of content with your boys, Sundays, 6:30.
Join the Cosmic Crew. Zell, Braden, Dan, and Andrew. And most importantly, you.
It's all you.
Y'all, you at home.
All you. That's going to be fun.
Wow.
We need a poster of Dan just pointing like Uncle Sam being like, we want you to call, call Cosmic Channels. Have the number underneath it.
That'd be great. Let's get into it. Alien Autopsy.
Fun.
Just so everybody's clear here, we're not just talking alien autopsies in general. There's actually a video that we're talking about. Took me a little bit too long to realize this, but
there might be now, more than one, but we're talking about the video.
Yeah, we are talking specifically about Alien Autopsy, Factor Fishing, Factor Fishing.
That'd be a wicked fishing show name. That'd be a
new podcast.
It was a TV special that aired on Fox in 1995. I specifically remember this video. Watching this TV special, I mean, it was 1995, said X-Files was in its second season at that point. You know, Fox pretty much had become the X-Files channel. Sightings was still on the air. I remember that one. So this was like heyday of my, like, I love everything about aliens. This was also a super creepy show. Also, bonus, the host of this show was fucking Commander Riker. Jonathan Frakes. So I was like, I was sold 100%. I saw the ads like running on Fox TV, saw the commercials for it, pumping it. I was like, I'm in watching this.
Sold.
So now you have this specific TV show that came out, and when you watch it, it's almost like if you haven't watched it already, actually, most of you, if you're into the kind of the UFO scene, you've probably actually seen clips of this TV show and other TV shows. Like you've probably seen it. Like you'll recognize scenes from it. You can look it up on YouTube, Alien Autopsy Factor Fiction, the original one. It actually aired 3 times on Fox because it did so well in the ratings. Like it pretty much topped out in its time slot where they put it.
Huge.
It got like 11 million viewers. Yeah. Like that's
at one
insane.
Point it was 11.7 million viewers. So
and on pretty, Fox. So we're talking playing between like, you know, fucking Simpsons and Married with Children. You know what I mean? Like this is fucking primetime shit.
Big it numbers. Was in primetime. I think it was like on Wednesday or Thursday or something. It was some weird time. So in this documentary is kind of what they called it or what they talked about. They were talking about the specific
found like, footage.
Found footage. Yeah. 17 minutes of film which had been recovered by London-based producers Ray Santilli and Gary Shewfield. And so they had this film which seems to portray two government pathologists, or at least pathologists when you look at it, wearing these full-bodied hazmat suits and dissecting what, you know, can be only be described as some type of humanoid. Because it's definitely, when you look at it, it definitely doesn't seem
it's a short completely gray human. It's a fucking short gray.
Dan, you guys are passing over the best part of this whole story.
What is that?
These guys found this fucking VHS tape at some best place I could say is probably like a flea market. They're out hunting for Elvis, fucking old footage of Elvis on VHS tapes, and they come across this bad boy.
Yeah, the guy, right. Like the guy brings him down into the cellar. He's like, you know what? You boys seem just the type. I've been holding on to this. You're looking for Elvis? Forget Elvis. Do I got that? I got the scoop for you. Come with me. Pulls it out. Blows the dust off it. And he goes, you're going to want to take a look at this. $20. Take it or leave it. I don't know how much he charged him, but
I'm going to take that and that fucking bowling ball over there. Done.
So this specific piece of film or whatever, depicts these two full body hazmated up scientists dissecting this, you know, just corpse. It's not living. It's not alive. And like Zell said, it does match the descriptions given by witnesses from the Roswell crash.
Dude, it's got a big bulbous head. It's got those black beady eyes. It's short. I mean, it's got actually a nice beer gut on it. A little pot belly.
I mean, other than being short, you could be describing Braden right now. So, like, let's be honest.
A shaved Braden, basically.
Braden, a 35-year-old Braden, let's say.
So, these do match the descriptions given by at least one Dan Dwyer. When people refer to the descriptions of bodies, they refer to this man, Dan Dwyer, who was one of the claimed to be one of the firefighters that responded to the original Roswell crash in 1947. And his daughter in the actual documentary, they got her on there. Her name is Frankie Rowe. Frankie Rowe is actually on the documentary recounting the descriptions that her father gave her of these life forms that were present at the wreckage of this UFO in Roswell, New Mexico, 1947. He described them as being sort of like little people, but not people. They were not human. He said at least three, I think he remembers being three, were definitely dead when they arrived. And there was one that was alive and walking around.
Right.
So if you take those things, so that's what he described seeing when he arrived on that scene.
At the crash.
So you've got her, these people describing these things. So this corpse in here potentially is one of those bodies. And they, like Andrew and Braden were saying, you know, Santilli had come across this film from a person who claimed to be a retired military cameraman. And he had obtained this footage because he had been the one shooting the film.
And I just want to say one thing that our personal experience, I think mine and Zell's, that can, you know, lend some credibility to that part of the story, is that a few years ago we had a fan whose grandpa was a cameraman for NASA and in charge of developing film for the Apollo missions. And he would keep photos and negatives for himself as well. So me and Zell, actually in Zell's studio and in mine, we have like a first print, like Apollo mission photos
right there
from this guy's grandpa.
Look at this thing.
Developed them. So it's like, you know, these things, like these cameramans and stuff, like, is it possible for them to, you know, get these negatives and, you know, original films? It seems like that, right? Because I mean, I imagine the alien autopsy footage would be a little more classified than the Apollo missions, but it's still a level of like, there's an ability to get that stuff. I don't find it a stretch.
So he took it home as fast as he could and then taped it over top of his tape of the Archie Bunker show.
Yeah, no, well, it was on like old, whatever, 8mm film or 35mm.
Oh, I get it, because this is in the 40s, right?
Back in the 40s, yep.
In the 40s.
Right. Yeah.
So Santilli claimed that this person had given him or sold him the footage that is featured in the TV special on the condition, you know, they were going to pay in cash, but also on the condition that they would not reveal his identity to anyone, like not show his face. He's not going to come on to any TV shows. Santilli went on to say that the man was at that point, he was like 80. He was pushing 80 years old. He just wanted to retire, be left alone, you know, didn't want to be caught up in what would be the media, you know, firestorm that would be heralded after that would follow the release of this, you know, world shattering footage.
Now, did they ever say how much he paid for this?
No, I don't think they did.
$20. You already called
whatever it. Whatever it was is a steal.
There is another. There's another point that Santilli made to mention that the man didn't want to also didn't want to be revealed because they paid him in cash and he didn't want to have to bother with taxes.
That's a valid point. You don't want the tax man coming after you.
So now, if you've seen this thing, like we said, they aired it three times on Fox. Like it was a huge. I mean, you could say that it was a pretty huge success. Like it came out there. It caused a lot of controversy, a lot of, you know, there was a lot of dialogue. There was a lot of uproar in the UFO communities talking about this specific thing. I mean, on the original documentary itself in 1995, they had a bunch of ufologists on the actual show itself. They had Stan Freeman was on there, you know, RIP. And you had other, they had a bunch of experts come on, pathologists, what they said, world-renowned pathologists coming in to actually, you know, give their opinions on these, this film.
they actually had some really cool experts that they brought in. They brought in Stan Winston, who was an Oscar-winning special effects makeup artist.
Dope.
And like he did Terminator, Jurassic Park, Predator, Aliens, Galaxy Quest, Iron Man, like
some of the best.
Pretty fucking heavy hitter, man.
Yeah, he's one of the greatest probably special effects artists ever.
Yeah, no, totally, man. And then they brought in like the cinematographer from Twilight Zone, E.T., Empire of the Sun, like some pretty fucking incredible dudes.
Yeah. And they all, you know, on stating on the documentary, at least they seem to express their both admiration that if this was done like in the early 90s, they're like, some of this stuff we don't even know how to do, or I'm not sure how I would do that, you know, without a huge budget. So, you know, they lent a lot of credibility to this film.
Well, let alone the fact that it was supposed to be from the 40s, man. Like, there's no fucking way they would have the ability to fucking make those special effects in the 40s. Not a fucking chance.
They brought on an expert from Kodak to look at the film, because I guess each kind of film used has different coatings, so you can kind of age date film based on like symbols and stuff ingrained into the footage. And this guy Lawrence Kane, an expert from Kodak, looked at it and said the film is legit film from the 40s.
Well, he said that code was used in either the 20s, the 40s, or the 60s, but
yeah,
it was dated. It's backdated quite far. So even if like, so for it, just by that, like it could have been from the 40s, because I think the code was like a square and a triangle, and it's embedded into like the edge of the film. So, I mean, you can't really, it's either the 20s, the 40s, or the 60s, they're using that code, so.
Right, so this TV special, this footage would go on to become, almost take like a life of its own at this point. Like after that, after it was revealed, like, no one was in there saying, nobody could come out and say it was right as a fake. There are a lot of people who tried to go out and say like, this is a hoax, this is fake, this is fake, this is fake. But there was still doubt. And it is thoroughly, maybe I'm just weird, but it's like, in my mind, this video is thoroughly ingrained in pop culture. Like I see this picture of this whatever, like the humanoid figure that they have. It's everywhere. On tons of things. It's everywhere. Like if there's an alien documentary, they use that footage, and it is, you know, ubiquitous. Like I would say it's just everywhere. And
feeling pretty left out here.
So I, you know, some of us, when I watch this again, like we all watch this, you know, we watched the original video, and luckily it's on YouTube. I watched it on Amazon. It's out there. You can find it.
We can't show you any clips because Fox owns the shit out of it.
They will kill us. The show will be destroyed.
Disney will kill us.
Isn't that Disney now?
Disney owns Fox now.
Even worse.
Mickey Mouse will come to our house and kick the shit out of us.
If we learned anything from the flat earthers, we don't want to fuck with Disney.
Yeah.
Don't fuck with Disney.
Nope. So looking back on it, just watching it, the things that really stood out to me is when they're cutting it open and you see the blood, like it to me, like it just doesn't quite look like a silicone dummy that I would even expect if it was a hoax to be made in the 90s. And then pair that up with the Jurassic Park guys going, watching it and being like,
it's good.
I don't know how you would do it.
You mean like the wetness.
Yeah. The wetness. Because they're not sure like how it's done and how you can get these things to stay wet. And he even says, he goes, if this was my work, I would be so proud of it. And if this is a hoax, these people are going to be hired by me to work here to show us how they did it. And these are the best people at creating these kind of effects. And they just seem baffled by it. They didn't say they couldn't do it. They were just very surprised if it was in fact a hoax.
Yeah.
Also to add to that too, like this was my first time watching it today. I'd never seen it before. And as everybody will probably already know, I'm a pretty big skeptic when it comes to this kind of shit. And watching it, not only like with the points Braden are hitting, you know what I mean? Like when they're making the incisions and the blood coming out and stuff like that, like looked very real, but also their procedural techniques. Like I've been, you know, a lot of times the, you know, paramedics will be in the operating room when they harvest organs, because those, or as soon as those organs get put in a box, you take those fucking organs down to the ambulance and you boot it to the fucking nearest airport, and you don't, so that, and they deliver those organs, right? So, you know what I mean? I've had the pleasure or displeasure of being in the operating room and watching them harvesting organs and cutting people open. And those techniques that they were using were accurate. They looked, that looked real. Like nothing out of that was like, that looks strange. That looks amateur. That looks, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that really stood out to me.
Now, if you're too, say you just don't, you've never seen the video and you don't want to watch it. It's two surgeons, I guess, in like pretty much in hazmat suits. And there's one camera guy operating over their shoulders and beside them and stuff. The alien's on a table and it looks to be in a small white operating room. And if, and it looks like there's like a viewing glass on the one end.
Yeah. With someone watching.
So there's probably, cause these guys are in full hazmat. I mean, they don't have respirators or anything, but this is back in the 40s, if you're going to go with this video is filmed. But the phone, the clock, and everything else in that video is from, so if it's from that time frame, so if that, like if it's a hoax.
Well, they, even the operating tray, like the tools on the operating tray.
Yeah. Everything.
Everything is lines up with what would have been used in the 40s.
Yeah. So whatever, whoever did it, real or hoax, it was done to a T. Like they didn't really leave anything out.
Right. When it first came out, that those were definitely the notes that people, those are the things that people looked for to try to discredit it. They try to look for, you know, what are the tools that they're using? What's in the background? And then that can tell us, cause you know, you've got stuff like hell, even in the Lord of the Rings trilogy, you'll see power lines like running along the background. Like what did they miss or whatever like that. But it looks quite legit.
The one weird thing for me, though, was the fact that it just kept coming in and out of focus. You know what I mean? Like, it looked like they were trying to hide something. That was the only thing where I was like, that's kind of weird.
In the thing we watch, actually, the guy's name is Roderick Ryan, and he was a combat cameraman in the 40s and 50s. And his job was to just film the combat scenes for documentaries and other things. And he says during that time, the cameras that he was using didn't have like actual focus. So you had to get in the right angle. This is what he was saying, is you had to be in the right angle.
And refocus nonstop.
So it would be focused and out of focus, focused depending on what your angle is. And he's like, yeah, if like they're using the same cameras I was using back then, which they probably were, because if this was a military, you know, like a, this was a secret project.
This was allegedly filmed in Fort Worth, Texas, I believe. This is supposed to be.
So even if it's not a dynamic scene, you know what I mean? Like nothing's really moving around sporadically or anything like that. It would still be.
As you move the camera, you have to manually focus.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's like,
right.
Judging by what this guy said, he said, if this guy's going in and out and over shoulders, it would go in and out of focus. And that's what he says is like, well, if they're using the same cameras he was back in his combat days, it would probably be a little bit out of focus.
Listen, and, if anybody named Roderick told me anything, I'd believe him.
Don't fuck around.
You don't fuck with Roderick. That's a badass name, man.
He's Roderick, right? His last name is a first name. So, I mean, come on.
Yeah. No, two first names. Roderick Ryan.
He's probably a superhero.
Now, he said, he was like, you know what? Like, this to me is a good job if they're using the same camera. And like, he's like, we're not like, you know, we're not taking artsy shots. We're just there to capture what's going on. We're not. So he's like, this is exactly kind of the same thing that I would have done in this situation.
Well, think about it. Say, because the story goes that the Roswell crash came down in, Marcel's Field. The army came, they found alive and dead bodies of the aliens. They took them to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base and instantly did the autopsy. So chances of them having an actual like videographer on site were probably slim. It was probably just the guys like, hey, grab the camera, grab your suit.
You're in the room. The cameraman. Yeah.
Like that's how I'd imagine if it was done like that, like really quick, like, hey, we got this alien. We don't have the right equipment to, maybe they didn't have like a cooling room or anything to like preserve it. So like, we got to do this now. We got a couple hours before it starts to deteriorate. Grab a camera.
Well, and again, if it's not, the other thing is, it's not human, right? So you don't know, like, if it deteriorates faster on Earth here, like what its composition is. You know, when they're pulling out the organs and they open it up, they had some experts looking. They're like, none of this really lines up. Like, organs aren't where they would be if it's human.
Right.
So, you know what I mean? Like, you would have no idea what this is or how long it's going to last or how long it's going to decompose. Because if it's not from this earth, you know, our elements can affect it way different than it affects us and our decomposition of corpses.
Gotcha. Makes sense. So that's, as far as a camera focus goes, that's the only way, that's how Roderick was saying that it could maybe be, maybe it's legit. Maybe it is.
Yeah. So you had this film out that, you know, it came out in 1995 and it had never been featured anywhere else before. Like, this was the first time that anybody had really seen it. So the people who probably saw it, I think, reading about the production of the, you know, the deals that went on, between Santini and like Fox and the negotiating between like the certain directors, segment directors, executive producers, things like that. They said that some of these guys, at least one of the segment directors who actually lined up a private investigator for the series to try and suss out the identity of the cameraman, that segment producer, he actually said that they brought this thing to him like 2 weeks. Gave him 2 weeks. Like, we're releasing this in 2 weeks. Like, one of the executives at Fox, like, we're releasing this in 2 weeks. You've got 2 weeks to investigate. You know, that the guy was, you know, he remembers doing this. I think that's John Jobson is the segment director. And, you know, he was kind of like, what, like 2 weeks? Like, when he watched it, he's like, maybe we got something here. He's like, I, you know, most of the people that saw this and the people that I read about who had seen this had worked on the production staff and things like that. They were like, some of them were like, I'm all in, like, this is groundbreaking stuff. I can't believe this that we huge. Actually got this. This is huge. So, you know, they were all on board, and even John Jobson, who seemed a little bit more skeptic than the other ones, even he at the time was like, well, 2 weeks at this, like, that's like nothing. Like, you know, I'm all for, you know, he recalls being like all for this, but he's like, I think we have a responsibility to make sure and verify some of this stuff. But with 2 weeks,
it's even more interesting than that, because it was shown privately in the UK before it was sold to Fox. And it was in a theater where UFOologists and experts were brought to view it. And then immediately after that, a licensing deal was in the works with Fox. That was in May, where it was shown privately, just the footage, the 17 minutes of footage. And by August, it aired on Fox. So from May to August, you had a licensing deal in place, and all these segments with, you know, the Jurassic Park producers, the FX guys, investigators, everything shot, edited, and done for August 8th when it aired. That is not a big turnaround. And like, if I know anything from our like negotiating with Spotify, I'm like, there's no fucking way that was like done in a day. That wasn't done the day after the premiere. Like, I bet that took a little time. So instantly when I like read that, I was like, you know what? I bet the FX guys and stuff, I bet they were handed this footage, and I bet they were given maybe a day to look at it and then come up with like, shoot this segment for the show. Probably realistic that it was a day that this was, they didn't have time. It's not like you'd be like, here's some money, go and see if you can recreate it. What can you come up with? It was probably like, what's your reaction to this? Perfect. It was like, you know, a present day, like, reaction video.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure from like most of the, you know, the articles and the research done into this, that's pretty spot on, that most of the people who saw this video, they sat down with it for like maybe a couple hours at most. And then they asked them like, what do you think? That's it. They didn't tell them like where they got it, all that stuff. They're just like, what do you think of this video? Boom. And then that was it. So this entire thing drums up like a whole ton of controversy. There's some of the experts that they had on there came out later saying that they, I mean, if you watch it now, you're like, some of the editing is kind of obvious. You're like, well, they don't say that it's exactly a hoax and they say they don't believe it. They just kind of like, it's like, well, that's kind of weird right there. Like I could see that happening or something like that. So there's all this kind of stuff that you're just like, even Stanton Freeman, like when they put him on there and I'm watching his section, like they put him on there, his interview for the show. And I'm like, he could be talking about something completely different. He might not even be talking about the video. He's just being like, there's stuff out there. And that, you know, governments, the US government is definitely covering up stuff about Roswell. I'm like, did you just ask him about Roswell and not about the video? Because yeah. Stan Freeman he's very, you know, he was one of the proponents about the very powerful proponent of, you know, disclosing all the information about Roswell and those things. But yeah, and even he was like, they kind of edited my stuff to make me sound less skeptical of the video than I actually was. Like, I think a lot of people who watched it were still like, I'm not really sure. And they all kind of took it with a little bit of grain of salt. They're just like, I don't think a lot of the people in there were completely convinced it was real, but they were like, this is a really good, you know, whatever it is, you know, sci-fi short or, you know, hoax or whatever. Like they were just like, this is really good, whatever this is.
Well, just like any production, there's going to be a little production value put in, real or not. So if they're going to edit the interviews, they could... If you're trying to, say you did have a real alien, like the alien autopsy video, and you knew it was true, and you're like, there's no way anyone's going to really believe this. Everyone's going to say it's fake. You interview all these people. They're all like, yeah, well, maybe. But then they say a bunch of stuff like, well, maybe not. You're going to lean as a TV, like a producer, to put the stuff where they said, well, maybe it is, rather more than maybe it is not. Just, you know, you're trying to get clicks. Well, now you're getting, back then you're trying to get views. Now today you'd be trying to get clicks.
Right. And that's just, you're getting sound bites. That's what
this thing went viral. Yeah. This thing went viral on a level that had never been seen before though. And like, if that had come out today, it would have, like with today's technology, like billions of views on this thing. Like that's the level of how like popular it was in 95.
Yeah. If something came out today, in 2020, that was full color. It looked amazing. You're like, wow, that looks fucking really good. You had movie experts be like, man, if that's real or if that's fake, that's really, really well done. Yeah. Hundreds of millions of views. Cause you can think about what gets hundreds of millions of views right now online. Bullshit. like, you know what I mean? Like just, you see a video on like Facebook, Instagram, like how does this thing have 45 million views? It's brutal. So if something like this came out, well, I mean, I shouldn't say that, I guess, because they did say like, hey, we perhaps recovered alien spacecraft. And I was like, eh, no one cares. It was barely even news. So,
well, you know, maybe if this alien was dancing to WAP, would have spiked a little better on the feed. But no, again, like this, rewatching it and just seeing that footage, I'm like, it's uneasy. Like even when they're moving the joints and stuff, like, everything looks good. This thing has six fingers. That's one thing that I thought was weird right away when they're saying this thing has six fingers. Like, not very often do you hear that associated with any kind of aliens. It's usually like the four fingers or three fingers.
Weren't they saying something about the ship, so that they look like they had like levers for polydactyl?
So beams? Yeah, in the videos also included in that 17 minute footage is not only footage of them, the autopsy on the humanoid creature. There's also footage of what is believed to be pieces of wreckage or components that were retrieved from the spacecraft. So Andrew's talking about that you can find these photos of these. They had one which, you know, they were marked. It looked like some type of I-beam that has some type of language, like writing symbols on it that resemble letters at some point. There is you could say or assume that is some type of control panel, because it looks like that's got these type of, it's got like these curving kind of reliefs on the top, like I don't know how to explain it, but there's also these impressions on the panel, like solid metal, or was supposed to be solid metal, I suppose. And it's got place for their, you know, polydactyl hands. It's got the extra finger in there. It's the six-fingered.
Well, yeah, they think that, like, look, because they're like, well, where's all the controls? And they think, yeah, they are, like, place their hands on it and they control it, like, telepathic or something.
Sure.
Okay, Minority Report shit.
Exactly. So let's go around the horn here. What do you, before doing, getting deep into the research, what did you think about the video? Did you, we were like, holy fuck, this is an alien, or did you go hoax right away? Let's, Andrew.
There was a lot of things that I saw in this video that I couldn't really explain, but fuck, I just can't shake my skeptic brain. And I'm just like, nah, I just don't buy it.
But in the group chat today, you were sold. Initially sold.
I wasn't necessarily sold. I was just like, it looks good. Like, that production value looks fucking good. But at the same time, I just don't, you know, some rando fucking military guy with a camera decides to fucking burn a copy and sell it at a flea market. Like, get fucked. I just don't buy it, man. I can't. Anyways, sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's who's next. That's looking for honest remarks. Dan, what'd you think?
If you would have asked 1995 me, I'd probably be like, that might be real. That's crazy. That is whatever. If you ask me now, I'm going to be like, nah, there's too much. There's little bits and pieces, that stuff that I've, information I picked over the years. And I'm just like, this doesn't look legit.
So old Dan, yes. New Dan, perhaps not. Braden?
Yeah. Educated Dan.
Mr. Dan.
Like, watching the footage and like watching that fact or fiction, I'm such a believer that I instantly am like, holy shit. They got him, right? We got him.
Ladies and gentlemen,
there's proof. And like now when I pair that with, you know, the Tic Tac video of the government coming out and saying that like UFOs are real, we have a craft from outside this world, I'm like, why the fuck not? Like, why not? Is there found footage of an alien autopsy? It goes with the narrative, right? It fits. So why not? So look, watching that the first time and the production value and how it looks, I go like, God damn, like this is impressive. And then you see all the experts, you have the Kodak expert, which to me was right away. I was like, oh wow. Like, all right. So it's dated in the time period. The amount of work that would have to go into hoaxing it seems unbelievable. The amount of like meticulous work that would go in to not make any mistakes.
Yeah, I agree with that a little bit, because of all other UFO hoaxes and like cryptid hoaxes, they're always so low budget and usually so you see right through them right away. Where this one, you can't just look for 3 seconds unless you're just completely like totally like 100% skeptic no matter what you've seen. If you watch this video without knowing anything for a few minutes, you'd be like, man, this is fucking crazy. So when I first watched it back, I probably watched it late high school or early college probably. And back then I believed everything. So I instantly thought they had this alien fucking thing. I went down the Roswell rabbit hole and I was like, yep, they got it. Why not? It doesn't make any sense. There's no way they could fake all this stuff.
I still believe it. I'll stay here and say I still believe it. And we'll get to the reasons why.
Yeah. Yeah. I still lean to believing alien autopsy, but I'll give my reasons, maybe not this one. We're going to take a short beer break, though. We'll be right back.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water. Enjoy and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to KundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's KundryMD.com/energy.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Okay, so we just gave our initial thoughts, and then after digging in a little deeper, a little farther down the rabbit hole, what have we come across?
So 1995, for like a decade, this video stood pretty much like on pretty solid ground where people were pretty split down the middle. I think that was like either this is real or this is fake, or you know, it's real. And then everybody is saying it's fake, it's a CIA plant, whatever. Okay, so you have all that going on. So 2006 hits, you have a British TV presenter by the name of Eamon Holmes, who hosts Eamon Investigates, and he did an Eamon Investigates alien autopsy special on the Sky Network. And they went deep into the events that surrounded the release of this supposed alien autopsy footage. This was like a few weeks before they were releasing it. Like it was right before they were going to release a comedy movie that was based on the alien autopsy footage, like the whole like phenomenon kind of like it was a comedy about two guys putting together an alien hoax, alien autopsy hoax. And I haven't watched the movie, but it's out there. You probably find it
probably important to mention that it was fucking produced by the two guys that came forward with the fucking original alien autopsy film.
Right. So in this, you know, in this documentary or in this investigative special, they actually interviewed Santilli, and he admitted to Holmes in there that the film he sold to Fox was a fake. And film that he sold to Fox was a fake, but he still maintained at that point, 2006, he maintained that it was based on real alien autopsy film, like the real alien autopsy film that he had originally viewed, you know, shown to him by this army cinema, or, you know, army cameraman.
And he put it a little bit more eloquently though, didn't he, Dan? Didn't he call it a restoration of the film?
Well, he said he embedded original film, like original frames of it. He said the film was just so old and degraded that you couldn't, it was almost unusable, like, after watching it. I imagine he had, like, a little, you know, probably put it up and it all got tangled up, started a little fire like you see in movies. And he's like, oh, fuck. But he says that there's original frames are embedded.
Right. He had said they had spliced. There were pieces of it that had degraded since they had started kind of dealing with Fox, I guess, like before they started dealing with Fox. And then there were sections of it like that were so degraded they couldn't use it, but there were still pieces that, you know, that they could recover, and that those were cut into the film that was sold to Fox.
Which ones were cut in, though? Were they specific?
They don't specify.
They were not specific.
They don't specify which
ones. He never specifies.
One of the persons who is familiar with the film kind of alleged that the sections that he did pick, or the frames that were taken from the original film, may have been chosen because they, for their total lack of anything distinguishing in that frame, like there is absolutely nothing special about those frames. They were not, you know, telling of anything. Like they were chosen because they obscured anything important.
Those are probably the fucking parts of the film that they submitted to the Kodak expert to be like, hey, look, yeah, this was made in the 40s.
Dude, I feel terrible for that Kodak expert who, like, he's like, I bet my bottom dollar this thing's real because I can read the codes and the codes say it's from this. And they're like, it's not. And
he's like, how much do Kodak experts make? It's not that illustrious of a fucking career, I'd imagine.
I think it's as easy as this. The film could have been from the 40s or 60s because they said they use the same timestamp for both those eras. There's nothing saying that someone could have been storing film the right way for 30 or 40 years and this used film still from that to make it even more authentic. Like if you're making a hoax, like you find like film from the 40s or 60s with that, the right time stamp, or like, oh, this adds one more layer to try and decode the hoax.
Think about the budget that these guys need though. Like you got to have that fucking camera from the 40s with the film. You got to get all those fucking equipment and supplies from the 40s. Like Jesus.
Yeah. But I'm saying if they spent all the effort to do it, I think that getting the film in and the film and the camera would be their least of the budget.
Oh, totally. No, it's pretty cool. It's a quite the elaborate scheme, man.
Right. Santilli and said that him and Schofield they built a set. They built that set that they used in the film. They hired actors and they filmed their, you know, what they titled or what they kind of referred to as a restoration. So they would have something to pitch to major networks like Fox. There was even like a TV interview that was set to air on a Japanese TV show after the show had come out. And Santilli also revealed in the Amon interview that the man that they had picked up to portray their cameraman, or who was they revealed, or they said that this is the cameraman, was a homeless guy they picked up off the street and paid like $500 to do that. I tried to find the original TV interview, but it's like, it's Japanese TV.
They picked up a homeless guy?
Yeah, they picked up some homeless dude who, according to Spyro Malaris, we'll get into that guy in just a second. Spyro Malaris helped out on this film, which is a pretty sweet name. But this guy said that they picked up some homeless guy off the street in LA and just also happened to be an actor in the past. And so it's like, I apparently did a pretty good job of portraying the cameraman.
Yeah, but he would have filmed it.
Well,
right. He would have been the one holding the camera and filming it.
No, that's what they told the interviewers. Like, this is the guy, like this is, they just picked up some homeless guy. They chose like, hey, pretend, you know, you're going to act like the cameraman who has shot this footage. We're going to go do an interview and you just pretend that you're that guy.
Okay.
So they just had that interview, but there was, I think a lot of people who actually saw the original interview were like, there's nothing to actually identify this guy as. They didn't show his face or really anything. They just kind of, you know, could have really been anybody, but there was no way to tell if he was actually the cameraman at all.
To me, that seems would seem ludicrous because I've used old cameras, like, I don't know, from the 40s, but they're not the easiest cameras to use. Like even old film cameras that shoots with real film, like they're not the easiest things to use and to focus. And now you got to teach some homeless guy.
No, not the homeless guy was actually shooting it. I'm saying when they did the Japanese interview, like they did the interview for Japanese TV, they just brought him in to pretend that he was the cameraman. That's what they did.
But either way, it would explain the blurry photo if he was a homeless man walking that camera around.
That would, yes, maybe he was the original cameraman.
Hey, but a homeless man could be the same skill with a camera as some just random army soldier got thrown in the room. Like, hey, man, film this. He'd be like, fuck, all right, just bumping around.
Yeah, but if they threw some homeless guy in there to film this, like they 100% would have killed him afterwards.
But here's the thing, though. If this is real and it was shot in the 40s, we're saying a random army guy grabbed a camera. At least you're from the 40s and you would have some idea how a camera from the 40s works.
Maybe.
What I'm saying is, in the 90s, handing a camera from the 40s to a hobo and being like, film this. First off, you have no right. Like, these cameras don't exist anymore. It's so out of what you would be normally use that there'd be already that learning curve. People in that footage would be like, no, like, do you move over here? Like, look, no, you got to touch this thing. Like, I just don't like it. That's so unbelievable to me, that part. But
all right. So,
hey, man, listen, it's difficult. I tried to get pictures of my kid for Halloween trick or treat, and then I just put a bunch of fucking selfies of myself.
Selfies and thumbs over the lens.
Yeah. It's fucking rocket appliances.
So enter Spyro Malaris. Spyro Malaris is a professional magician. Also, documentary producer, I believe.
That's a great name for a magician.
Illusionist.
Illusionist. Sorry, illusions, Michael.
Right.
What are you? Magic's for homeless people and drug addicts.
So, Spyro Malaris ended up coming out later and revealing that he was one of the people that had shot this. Like, it had actually been on the crew that worked on this film, this piece of film. He was on the team that they actually made two autopsy films, right? They made two of them because one of the parts that the dummy that they were using that was portraying this creature or whatever, apparently the leg did not form properly when they built it, when they formed it, and then like it had left a hollow piece in the leg, and that's actually what is the cause of the wound that you see. Like, there's a prominent wound in the video. You'll see like a prominent leg wound. It's actually that hole, it was caused by the formation that the technique that they used to build this dummy. They said it was,
that's crazy.
Yeah. They said it was foam latex pretty much. But what they had used to this, they made a mold, and then they just kind of used foam latex to kind of fill it in and then carve it out of that.
How'd they get it so
they
wet?
They filled it with like animal organs and fucking jam.
Right.
So, jam?
Yeah.
That's what gave it the wet look?
But how did they cut it? How did they make it solid like that with the organs in it so that when they cut it, it bleeds?
Well, that thing is like, okay, if you watch that video and you watch how they, when they cut it, like they hold their hands pretty close to the thing, and at least one person who watched it, at least one of the critics that watched this, they said that could very likely, like, they had that scalpel connected to a tube, and then that, you know, they just like pumped in liquid at the end of the thing, which they do. And
that scalpel, dude, I'm looking at the scalpel right now. It is so thin.
Like, it was good enough to make a forensic pathologist be like, I can't explain that.
It looks good.
That, yeah,
looks,
in the documentary, but I think that forensic pathologist like was edited heavily, like to kind of sound like, to sound.
Dude, it looks who knows, still really
could
good,
have been a homeless
though.
Guy. They could have just hired some homeless guy to pretend to be a forensic pathologist. We don't know.
I mean, there were a couple other forensic pathologists who were interviewed post this. Like, there is I know a couple of, like, UFO magazine had a couple interviews with forensic pathologists at the time, and they said that this is what, like, when they came out, this is like, this is 100% a fake. Like, you know how one of the ways they know that this is a fake is because the way that they use scissors in that is more comparable to a way a tailor would use.
Honestly, to me, to say that is like, there's only one way to use scissors, and that's how everyone who's trained uses scissors that way. It's like, yeah, well,
I'm watching the scissors. If you're taught how to use those as a tool in an operating room, that's going to be the way the majority of people use those scissors.
And there's also going to be people who, there's going to be outliers who don't like to use it that way.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm watching this thing as we talk about it. I'm back on the belief train. This is unbelievable.
As we're talking about that, it's a known hoax. We're like,
with a parody film.
I don't believe
as you're saying is a known hoax. I'm more on board than I've ever been.
Yeah, because this is your first drink in a month.
It's also my first giant bong rip in a month, and I think that might be more it. But I'm telling you, I'm back on the this is real.
Yeah, you're back on the booze and back on the belief train. I dig it.
I guess so.
So it. In the film, they remove the pathologist, or I put that in quotation marks, but these pathologists, like, they remove the organs from inside this creature, right? And a lot of the pathologists who saw the removal of these organs, you know, had some serious questions about, you know, number one, this creature, it's obviously not human, or perhaps some human with some terrible deformity, but it is. If it's not human, it definitely
deformities. Okay.
But even though
numerous going on,
but it does look, you know, strikingly similar to a human body, and none of the organs that they remove are even closely analogous to human organs. Like the creature,
it's a fucking alien.
I know it's an alien, but I'm saying that it walks upright. It has a nose. It has a mouth. It has
private parts that they're hiding.
Private parts that they seem to be pixelated.
I didn't understand that. I don't. Why did they have to pixelate the privates?
Because they didn't want to show an alien vagine.
But they're like, we're totally fine with everyone watching this thing get cut the fuck open.
Yeah, well,
no P's or V's. Not allowed.
It's breaking the rules. That's Fox television.
No hoo-hoos or ha-has.
Nope. Zero.
No vagines on Fox cable.
Or maybe this is an alien being from a different dimension that in that dimension, their organs have formed different places. What's the big deal about that?
But
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And that's a fine theory. But the thing is like, even if it did form in a different universe, its body is very similar to ours. Like it walks upright, obviously. Like it walks upright, doesn't walk on all fours. Like the pieces of its body, it has a mouth and it would have lungs. Like there would be lungs that would be removed or something.
Maybe
like
that's why it's dead. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it breathes something else and it's got some other weird fucking organ deep in its fucking neck cavity or something that cycles out.
But then
God knows what.
But then I'm
gas.
Saying like the body would form differently. Like you'd probably have bone. The bone structure would be completely different to either protect those or whatever. But that's
maybe not. That's maybe as a planets only form round. Maybe bodies only form this way.
Yes, and
intelligent
maybe,
bodies.
And maybe that they were actually lost their magical unicorns that they ride on that protect them with force fields. Like, yes, of course.
You
yeah.
don't. Hey,
sure.
Unlimited universe. Unlimited possibilities.
Unlimited possibilities. I like it. So basically, they jam this thing full of. I have tons of questions about still how they pulled it off. So they formed these fucking. They jammed all these butcher parts into this. Sealed foam latex suit.
Yeah, you're only seeing it from the top. So could they have not have stuffed it from behind?
From the bottom?
Yeah, from underneath it.
Yeah, but it's not. It has
curvature.
You're
only seeing the
top.
Yeah, but you're only seeing the top. You're not seeing the back of it.
I will admit this. When I watch magicians, I also don't know how they do those things.
Illusionists.
And I know it's fake.
Illusionists. Right?
So the fact that this was done, I was like, okay, I have questions. Magicians never reveal their secrets. I will put this in the same category. But like, I have too many questions. I could talk about the body forever.
To
Braid, you can see
to
the Braid curves
and
of the
David
body.
Copperfield did make the Statue of Liberty disappear. Like, if
why
he saw
is that
relevant?
Like, you
shit.
Can see curves of the body. Why is that
well,
relevant? You can see curves of the body.
Because what I'm saying is this. If what you're saying is that they just stuff it from the bottom, you think that it would be a half and you'd be able to tell that it's half because it sits on the fucking operating table flat, right?
It can still
but
be
it
rounded.
Doesn't.
It can still be rounded with fucking slits in the back where you stuff all the shit that they're pulling out of it.
Okay, fair. Fair.
50-50.
But then
50-50.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I guess.
Alien.
I guess
aliens.
Are we getting into this now? Because we can.
No. I'm saying I agree right now that it's a hoax. I'm just saying that I still have lingering questions about how they pulled it off.
I have questions too. Like, there's just things that just don't make sense to me for it to not be a hoax.
Yeah.
Yes. Continue.
But
go for it. What else are you saying?
Braden or me?
You.
Well, it's just the fact. Okay, so already we have this fucking film that gets released all over fucking local television.
National
television, right? So if the government is going to these extreme lengths to hide this film, this secret film that was purchased at a fucking at a flea market.
Yeah, and now it's getting picked up by Fox. The cameraman had also said that he had repeatedly tried to contact the military and give it back to them, but they never got back to him. That's what he said. That's what Santilli said.
The
cameraman told him. Yes.
Like, listen, from everything I've learned, because like I said, I didn't even know about this fucking video. I didn't know fuck all. The only aliens I knew about were in movies. I don't know. You know what I mean? I'm new to this whole genre.
And nothing's changed.
No, I'm getting a little bit better. But from what I understand from all these case files and shit we talk about, you got the Men in Black showing up. You've got the government going to all these extreme lengths to bury all this shit and keep it under, you know what I mean? They want to keep it under the fucking radar. They don't want people to know about it. And then randomly this video just pops up on fucking network television. And then after the fact, you have the two guys that release this video decide to make a parody movie about it.
Maybe that's all disinfo for the real video that was lost.
Buddy, listen, the guys made a nice fucking nest egg to pay off their fucking budget to make this film when they sold it to Fox.
It wasn't a big budget,
though. That shit ran out. They needed to make a little bit more money, so they decided to make a parody movie about it.
Well, according to Spyro Malaris. Malaris? What is it?
Malaris sounds cooler.
That might be the best name we've ever talked about in this podcast.
First off,
it's up there.
You know, there's other podcasts that have him on, but you know right away how we feel about people who perpetrate hoaxes. I think they're fucking scum, and they don't help the cause. But you can go listen to him, and what he says is the plan was to make this, release it as a hoax, release it, fool everyone, do the old "I gotcha." And then make a documentary and release it on how they fooled everyone. But according to Spyro, I don't know how
it's Spyro. Spyro is a Let's video just keep game.
Spyro.
He says that all these names are hard. As soon as Santilli got the licensing deal, he all of a sudden didn't want to contact anyone and he didn't want to do the documentary because he now saw the money signs of just keeping this thing as real footage.
So originally meant to be a hoax, when they seen the money, they said, well, fuck that. Let's drag this out for a bit.
Yes, Santilli did.
I don't believe that.
Yeah, and that kind of lines up with stuff that was reported by John Jobson. I mean, we mentioned him earlier, one of the segment directors. John Jobson was engaged by the producer, Robert Kvyat, who was a producer on the Fox special. And he was going to direct the one of Santilli's interviews on the thing. He was supposed to also like bring the film back and all these other things. He mentioned that he had his doubts, and when he expressed his doubts to Fox and Kvyat, that this thing he suspected was a fraud, because he specifically mentions when he met Santilli right there, he was like, this dude's a shady fuck. Like, no way. Like, there's no way this is real. This guy is a fucking weirdo.
It's a grifter.
Yeah.
Just had a feeling.
You know, but it was made clear to him from the Fox side that if the footage were to be exposed as a hoax before the show aired, the ratings would suffer. So they were pretty much telling him, we don't care. We're looking at the ratings. Because, I mean, if you imagine Fox at this time, it was already like, you know, second season of X-Files, like ramping up the good shit. Like, they're like, this stuff sells. We're doing it.
Yeah.
Well, they got 11 million plays at one time for one airing, so that's right. Pretty damn good.
And that's huge.
In its time slot, it was like the top every time that they put it
top
on.
Top show?
The three times that they put it on. Wow. And I think actually they aired like a little bit more of the footage like every time. Like they didn't, I don't think they aired all 17 minutes at one point. They kind of like, they spread it out. When you watch the documentary, they don't even show the whole 17 minutes in one go. It's all like, they like parse it out throughout the actual documentary, which kind of pisses me off, but it's like, fine, whatever. I don't call the shots. So yeah, it's just like, even when Jobson brought in that private investigator, he's like, hey, I know a private investigator. Let's try and track down this cameraman. Wait, how about we go for that
ingestivator?
Angle? You know,
I hear ingestivator, or is that just my headphones?
I said,
hey, listen, Zell, you dropped a fucking wabbit hole. So
I already said fishing today.
That. Yeah.
So
you dropped a little Elmer Fudd on us. Everybody's off their game.
Grab a hole.
You know, he brought in the investigator, William Deere, and William Deere, you know, was actually held back. You know, Jobson said that he was held back by the producers because they feared that he would find out that this hoax would be exposed. And then, so they told him like, you know, yeah, you can bring him in, but only bring him in to investigate, to try to find out who this cameraman was. But in the documentary, they never find out who the cameraman was. They're just kind of like, maybe we'll find him at some point. There's always like in the documentary, I noticed that. And I think Jobson talks about it, where it was like, he was always under the impression that they were going to release, like Braden said, that they were going to release like a, you know, investigate this really deeply, figure out where this came from, where this video, like, get more information, but that never happened. So even in the first, like the 1995, like you watch that original airing, they kind of give this sentiment of being like, we're going to investigate this further. We're going to find out more information is coming, blah, blah, blah. But nothing ever came out. It just kind of
materialized.
It just crystallized the way it was in, you know, at the time, and people just went with it. Like, you know,
the one thing I wanted to bring up about Spiro Malaris is that after claiming, you know, he was paid and you know, made the sets and stuff, while after, he said that he found two remaining tapes, because he said he had given all footage back because they figured if there was no leaked footage out there, it would be hard to anyone to prove it was a hoax. So Santilli had all the footage. So Spiro was like, you know, he didn't have a leg to stand on really, until he produces two tapes, one of which is the unedited tapes of just the, like, the background and the tools and equipment in the room. And it shows them in like pristine condition. And that's what they're saying is before the tape was artificially or digitally decayed to make it look older than it was. And he also had a tape of a series of like flashes where they did like flash to cover up edits and stuff. And he said that if you played this tape of the flashes, it lines up perfectly with all the edits of the alien autopsy film. And he says these two films essentially prove that this is in fact a hoax.
So, damn. which is an interesting part. Malaris also said that when they were actually responsible for not constructing only the dummy, but also the props that they use. Like, so those consoles and that if you look it up, you can find out the little I-beam with the language that's on there. He reported that he had actually, it was based on Greek letters, and that you could actually see in it. And I looked at a couple pictures, and yeah, you can. When it turns it upside down, it says video on it. Like, it spells out video. It's V-I-D-E-O. Like, it's spelled on the thing. Like, it's on there.
I've never, I believe in the, I think the Roswell crash probably happened, but that video of them bringing up that little I-beam with the numbers, I was like, that doesn't look like any type of part that would be in a craft ever, and no matter what galaxy it came from. It was just like, it looked like a drafting ruler.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It was like, what was it, 12 or 16 inches long? And it was like a three-sided like beam. And then it had, yeah, it didn't look like a part of a craft. It didn't look like it had broken ends on it. It didn't look like it had been warped in a crash. It just looked like a piece of cardboard, kind of.
So the actual dummy itself was reported by
allegedly
to have been constructed by one John Humphreys.
So John Humphreys designed the dummy.
Right. John Humphreys is a sculptor based in Manchester, England, and he says that he was part of the team that built this dummy. He's part of a team that they won a BAFTA for digital effects for the cult TV series Max Headroom in 1987. The dude is a Royal Academy lecturer about these things. Like, he's a really accomplished special effects artist, or he's very good in his field. And they said that Humphreys, reported, and this was in the Holmes documentary about the alien autopsy, video, the whole thing, the production. And Humphreys said that he had been hired to make this fake alien corpse, and to construct it so it would have realistically bendable joints, which he used, he constructed that he said from lamb bones, sourced from a local butcher. And I remember seeing this. There was World's Greatest Hoaxes. That was a Netflix series for a second. I remember watching it. I remember seeing him going to the butcher and saying, like, this certain butcher right here, he's like, this is where I bought the stuff. I'd come here in the morning,
yeah,
and I'd find what I needed, and then I would take it back and use it to make these things. He said that he actually played the role of one of the pathologists. Now, the techniques they used in there, Malaris said that him and Humphreys, who were friends at the time, Malaris said that his girlfriend is actually the one who helped them to find information about the techniques and like materials that they would use and these type of autopsies and things from 1947. Like, she actually went and talked to surgeons and coroners and people like that to get then an idea and try to be really, to make it as accurate as possible. And she's actually the one that's standing. She's the third person. Like, they said that's the third person that you see. You see the two guys in the hazmat suits, but then there's one more person behind the piece of glass.
Kind of like a nerd, her,
apparently, allegedly.
Right.
So
the hoax theory is stacking up, but I'm still not fully sold on the hoax, but I get what you're saying.
They got a really good technique of getting rid of the fucking body too, getting rid of the evidence.
Right. What was that?
They drove around the fucking city putting different body parts in different garbage cans.
Genius.
Right?
How are you going to know?
I mean, they probably could have just thrown the whole thing in a dumpster outside the fucking building and nobody would have said anything, but
so,
Andrew, I like the effort.
At this point, we have all these people coming forward saying it's a hoax. What do you believe?
I think that this was an extremely well done, elaborate hoax that they put in fucking very fine details and went. They went hard on this one, and I'm impressed. It was cool, and I enjoyed it. This one was fun. They did a good job. It really made me fucking. After I watched that video, I was like, "Holy fuck, this is pretty cool." And then listening to the experts on fact or fiction and stuff like that, for a bit there, I was like, "Holy shit!" And then I had to sit there and like kind of look at myself in the mirror and be like, "Grow up, man. Figure this out."
All right, Dan.
At this point, like when I went through all this stuff, I was like, yeah, it's got to be a hoax. Like, there's no way. There's so many questions that can't be answered by, what ifs, because there's too many. There's too many what ifs and what about. And, there's too many things like, okay, so they had there's just a bunch of questions that went unanswered that can't be answered by just like, throwing it off. It's like, okay, the guy called the military to give back this footage. They didn't want the footage back of an alien autopsy. Like, they didn't want that back. Like, it's kind of, so there's a bunch of questions that are unanswered that I feel like
It's easy.
Yeah. I will have to completely disagree.
Me too.
It's not a fucking hoax. I like, honestly, getting into this, let's start with
It's easy.
Why? Listen, man. Okay,
first off, boys.
John Jobson, he said, or John Humphreys, the guy who makes the suit, he recreates a new movie, Alien Autopsy, a film where he recreates the original creature. And he says, and I quote, "Funny enough, I use the exact same process as before." That's important. The exact same process as before. You start with stills from the film, blow them up as large as you can, then you make an aluminum armature, which you cover in clay, and then add all the detail.
Sure.
Does that not... You start from stills from the film. He says he uses the same process as before, so he used stills from a film.
The original.
That's the same process.
He used stills.
Were these stills from this film?
But he's saying that he used the same process, and he's like, "You use stills from the film." So obviously, it's stills from a film. If that's the same process,
show us the stills. Let's see them.
They're gone, Andrew.
But he just recreated them. He used those stills to recreate the new body in the movie that was created in 2006.
Yes.
Okay. So where are those stills?
I'll finish it. This is exactly what happened. This is what I think is this Spiral Malaris. Wherever the fuck this guy's name in, great name. It's fake. Does anyone fact check these guys? These are disinformation agents. That
are they Russian? Do they have Russian accents?
I don't know what their accents would be.
I don't know.
But I'm saying that these are disinformation agents, and that's why it took 10 years of deliberation to figure out. Like, oh, I guess it's fake because this guy said he made the corpse. This guy said he made the film.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, two guys said that. Did anyone fact check their background? Where do we know? Are these people even real?
So now if you're going to say those guys,
we let you talk. We let you talk, Dan. It's our turn now. You had your chance, Team Hoax. It's Team Not a Hoax now. Mute them. Cut their feeds.
Cut their feeds.
Dude, Spiral Malaris, he has financial stake because he said if he can prove that this is in fact a hoax that he had a hand in, he would get some of this profit. But I guess all this can easily be disproven by pulling up the many articles of Fox suing Santilli for fraud because he, you know, gave them this footage alleging it was real when he knew it was a hoax. There's zero. They never sued him. Why would you not? Because
they got their views. They got exactly what they wanted from that.
Got their money.
There was no repercussions from that at all. Save face that someone would have been like, "Hey, that's fraud."
But they never said it's real.
The whole name of thing is factor.
Like, we can keep using this. If we can keep their whole thing is like, if anything, that makes it more a hoax than anything, because like the disinformation, the people who would profit most is Fox from being a disinformation. So that makes even more sense. But the thing is that Fox News runs articles about it being a hoax.
And not to mention their fucking producer, whoever the fuck was, came to them and said, "This is a hoax." And their exact words were, "We don't fucking care. We want to run this."
Okay. We got one more thing we have to talk about that's going to boost everyone's opinion back to not a hoax.
I doubt it.
So we got to talk about the 2019, the CIA leaked memo.
Alleged.
Sure. Of course. You got to say alleged.
You mean
because
the one that's written
proven.
In Russian? That one?
No, it's written in English.
Oh, okay.
On some type of, you know, I don't know. It's not on CIA stationery or anything. So
IRA stationery.
It's on a paper napkin, like all CIA leaked documents, Dan. Written in pencil on a diner napkin.
Yeah.
This leaked memo from 2001 allegedly sent to aerospace billionaire Robert Bigelow, who we all know.
Skinwalker Ranch.
Owns Skinwalker Ranch.
Everybody's favorite conspiracy sugar daddy.
Yeah. He gets this memo. Basically, it claims that former CIA scientist Kit Green was briefed three different times during and after his tenure at the CIA on topics relevant to UFOs and the Roswell incident, the alien autopsy. Now, in this, he says the one thing that I found very fascinating is he goes, you know, "I looked at the film footage and it looks exactly like photographs I have of a being that I was briefed on in the 80s. Way before this was filmed and the hoax was done, this CIA expert's going like, "Yeah, this looks legit only because it looks exactly the same as photos that I've been given to look at from the 80s. So he's comparing the creature in this hoax film to photographs that he has that he's viewed from the 80s. And he's going, yeah, it looks exactly the same. So maybe hoax, but if it's maybe like it's Santilli's saying, maybe it's a recreation of a real footage that he had.
Restoration.
Maybe.
Hey man, I fully on board with Roswell. I think it happened. I believe that.
Well, it did happen. The question is what actually happened. But yes, aliens.
Yeah, but like by this point in the 80s, did we not all have an idea? Did we not all have an idea of what these aliens looked like?
Yeah, we saw the footage. We know exactly what they look like.
Alien autopsy footage from 1947. Short, bulbous head, black eyes, pot belly, beer belly.
I mean, like right there. Just, you know what I mean? Like initially this film was made in 1947. We have all this, you know what I mean? Then next thing you know, they come out and they say they went to this elaborate fucking levels to make this fucking thing look like it was filmed in 1947, but it really wasn't. And it was a restoration. And then all of a sudden it's a comedy movie recreation of it. Like, it's just, there's too much bullshit with it, man. It's just too much.
But hold on. Here's the thing. So let's for argument's sake, Santilli has this footage. And it's so worn down that basically all he can do is like, look, he can't even play it. He can just look at it frame by frame and find all these details in it. And he's like, I'm going to make the perfect recreation of this because it needs to be seen. That's why everything is so fucking perfect in it, because he has the original footage that he's looking at.
But like, so another question, first of all, like we still have film that's been around since the 40s. You know what I mean? They're like, film just doesn't fucking, okay, just stop. You don't have to interrupt. I just got a couple things I want to say. Then you can hop in. Right. Could he have not taken it to somebody and had that fucking film duplicated instead of recreating it?
No.
Why not?
If it's stored properly, yes, it can last.
So he obviously saw it. So when he watched the whole fucking thing, why couldn't he have taken it and got it duplicated?
Yeah, but it doesn't mean, just because he says he saw it, doesn't mean that he watched it on like a camera. He might be looking at it frame by frame through a viewer, not watching the movie because the tape is too shredded or flimsy or falling apart, disconnected.
Fucking reach and a half.
And he's just looking at it frame by frame going, holy shit, right? I'm going to recreate this. It lines up with what John Humphrey says, is that like, again, I use the exact same process as before. You start with stills from the film, blow them up as large as you can.
Yeah, but this film doesn't exist, so I don't understand how he used it. I'm confused.
But that's what he's saying, is that when in 2006, when he recreated it, he goes, I use the same process as before.
Yeah,
so when he made this film in 95, what film did he use? What film was he blowing up?
He's talking about the film from the 1995, the restoration. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about, I took the stills from the 1995 production from that special. I blew them up, and he used the same methods that he used to create it in the first dummy.
That's what he's saying.
The second dummy. That's what he's saying.
We're saying the same thing.
But he's saying he used the examples from the 90s film to make it look just like the 90s one. But he used the same methods on creating it, like the silicone and all that shit, and stuffing with the organs and the bodies and stuff.
I don't know.
Oh my god.
Potato, I guess.
No big deal.
Put my head through the wall. I can't do this.
All right. Well,
it's real,
man. Killing me.
It's real. You two have just been drinking up the what the government wants you to drink up. The Kool-Aid. You
guys aren't woke.
As long as the Kool-Aid's Honolulu blue, I'm drinking it.
You guys gotta take some silica packs.
If you're trying to say these guys are coming out and saying that it's a hoax are disinformation agents, then you would also have to be saying that Stanton Freeman is a disinformation agent. And the ufologists that came out and said that this is a hoax when they saw it are also disinformation agents.
No, I'm not saying people who examined it and said it's a hoax are disinformation agents, because they are doing the right thing and be like, it looks like a hoax. I'm saying the people who created the hoax are disinformation agents, and it's based on a real event.
But if those people had never made it, then it wouldn't be a thing.
Give me some skin there, brother. No, you got to go down.
What?
You gotta go down.
So why did they make it in the first place if they're the disinformation agents?
Hey, me and Zell are on the same wavelength right now tonight.
I just want to believe bad that I don't think anything you say tonight could convince me otherwise. That's not a hoax.
Yeah. But you know what? The only thing about this case file that's a hoax is the hoax itself.
In my opinion. That could be it.
Yeah, the hoax. The entire thing. It's a fucking hoax.
Yeah. We're in agreement.
The hoax is real, Andrew. The hoax is real.
Yeah.
If you've never seen Alien Autopsy, go watch it.
Let us know what you think. Are you team Dan and Andrew or
Team Dandrew? It's team Dandrew.
Dandrew.
Are you team Dandrew or team Silica Pack?
Boom. Get woke. Do not ingest Silica Packs.
Don't eat them.
This case file made me want to eat a Silica Pack.
Maybe you should have. I've been on the right side. Obviously. Okay. There we go. Conclusions are done. We all know what we all think. Yeah. It's a fun case. Go watch it. Yeah.
You at home know where we stand. You know it.
Yeah. Oh, man. You know who's right.
Yeah.
Space. Let's get into some space news.
I'm checked out.
All right, space news just announced here on the show. The alien autopsy hoax is in fact a hoax of a hoax. Fucking real deal, you heard it here. Astronomers, oh God. Planet X confirmed, basically. Astronomers confirm a rogue Earth-sized planet careening through our galaxy. So this is basically what happens when a star dies, and if our star were to die, we would be just hurled into the abyss. And scientists have found such a planet that's just free floating, not in any gravitational pull.
Sounds extremely depressing.
Should call it Tom Petty.
Yeah.
Cause it's free falling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, I like
that
it.
That was fucking awesome.
I like it. R.I.P.
Tom. R.I.P.
Planet Tom Petty.
Planet Tom Petty from now on. Instead of Planet X, nah.
It's Planet Tom Petty.
Tom Petty.
We talked about last week. I think we talked about it the week before. NASA's leaking asteroid sample is finally secure. Now they're working on getting it back to Earth. This was the spacecraft OSIRIS-REx that landed on asteroid Bennu. And they collected did the bounce off, collected a bunch of sample, but it collected too much. It wasn't sealed properly, and it was spilling the payload into space. They were worried that it was going to lose everything, but they fixed it, sorted it out, I think through some magic.
I think magic is the proper term.
Might as well, magic.
Magic, yeah. And it's fixed, so it's on its way back to Earth, so they're going to be looking at this some asteroid dust.
They did not lose all the dust. They managed to save enough for research, so success. Maybe. Mission success.
Mission complete.
Oh, I like the headline of this one. Scientists in Japan just found a detailed record of Earth's last magnetic switcheroo.
Oh, shit.
I didn't really even read into this one. I just liked the headline so much that it said switcheroo.
No,
I was like, oh, that sounds like right up our alley.
They think the Earth's magnetic poles shift every 200,000 or 300,000 years, but it's been they theorize about 750,000, so we're more than due. So it could be coming, and that's still up for debate what happens when it flips. So we'll know real quick when it flips. We'll know.
Yeah, we get Australia start seeing aurora borealis, and we start getting aurora. What's the other one?
Australis.
No, it's that Australia will get polar bears. And then you guys will get all the weird spiders and snakes that they have over there.
Oh, fuck.
Kangaroos everywhere.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, what really, like, I imagine it could fuck up GPS and a lot of our, like, that kind of shit. But would it be really, I wonder if it's like a...
It's like Y2K. It's like not really a big deal. Yeah.
Not a big deal.
Yeah, what if we just were like, oh yeah, okay, well, let's just continue calling what we think the North Pole.
So you scratch
out
the
that?
N and you put S, and you scratch out the S and you put N. Done.
Yeah.
Crisis averted. It'd be a quick 180 of north and south, east and west, and it's the same. Nothing's going to change.
You change the maps. That's it.
So, what's it going to be? Soggy wheat, never eat?
Yes.
So there, it's easy. We fixed.
Done. Soggy gotcha. Wheat, never eat.
You learned covered. It. Soggy wheat, never eat. Exact same meaning. You got to do a little pause for it to make sense, but we'll make do. It'll be fine. Do we have anything else for space news? I think that's all I had.
I wanted to talk about these things that I did not know what they were called. Okay. When I say centaur, what do you think it is?
Centaur. Half man, half bull.
Horseman?
Yeah.
Yes. That's what I thought as well. But I guess they're a rare celestial object that combined features of asteroids and comets, meaning that's like a rocky body, but also a body that ejects dust and gas and has a tail.
Rocky body yeah. that expels gas like Andrew.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Like, when you say rocky, you mean chiseled, right?
Of course. Sure. So I guess, but so a centaur is that. It's a mix of an asteroid and a comet. And we've only found 18 in 100 years, and we just added another. And it's gathered from the Dark Energy Camera at the Inter-American Observatory
right.
and the Walter Bade Telescope at the Las Campanas Observatory, both in Chile. So they found, now we found 19 in 100 years. So that's a pretty rare celestial object as far as...
I mean, it probably gets its name from the half-man, half-horse centaurs. Because isn't most of the stuff up there Greek? Isn't that what
well, yeah, it is. It kind of makes sense as they took half of... comet and half of an asteroid, but it doesn't make cool. It's not a I don't know why they call it the same as a centaur. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool. A combination of two things, so I just that's why they call it a centaur.
All right, Zell, why don't you type in fire up the randomatron, type in a short one, and type in make sure it's something I can't read. Type in, like, you know,
I got just the thing.
Pronunciation level 10.
Oh, right. Throwback one. Here we go. We're going to fire it up.
That's a long one.
Have it.
This is excellent because I can't read this at all. I'm going to try to read it and then abiate. Buzone.
Sounds about right.
And now I'll spell it. A-B-B-I-A-T-E. Abiate.
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 And then B-U-A-Z-Z-O-N-E.
Buzone?
Sure.
Buzone? Abiate Buzone. Abiate Buzone. On the 24th of April, 1950, near his home in Abiate Buzone in Italy. I think that sounds pretty
that
good
sounds,
now.
That sounds good.
Abiate Buzone in Italy, Bruno Facchini saw sparks he thought were generated by a storm. When he left the house, he saw that there was a dark UFO hovering some 200 yards away. Nearby, a figure seemed to be working on the object, perhaps making repairs. Other entities were seen. They were dressed in tight-fitting clothes and were wearing helmets, but their faces were also concealed behind masks, from which emerged flexible pipes. During the encounter, Facchini offered help, but the entities fired a beam of light at him, pushing him back to the ground for several yards. So they shot him with a flash. They shot him with a flashlight. This is like fucking 100,000 lumens. This LED just through him. It's one of those ones you see on like the TV commercials, right? Like buy this one, Bell and Howell, 100,000 candles. This thing would send the Balrog back to the pit. Balrog or whatever it is, Lord of the Rings. Put it to shame. Pushing him to the ground for several yards. Shortly afterwards, when the repairs had apparently been completed, Lockman, the object took off, making a heavy buzzing sound. The following day, Facchini returned to the site recovered metal fragments, and noted circular imprints and patches of scorched grass. There were other anonymous witnesses who testified to the event. That's it. That's the story of from the UFO encounter in Abiet Bazone in Italy.
I mean, Fettuccini was only trying to help, and these guys are shooting lights at him and stuff like this.
Yeah, come on.
Not cool.
Yeah.
That was rude.
Hey!
Hey, I'm just trying to help, man. Forget about it, eh?
All right.
So that's a good one. Good one. Interesting. Tight-fitted suits. Little helmets.
Any Herbie Hancock plan?
No. See, now, this is an interesting one because with the helmets, I'm like, you know, can we chalk that up to aliens? Most, not a lot wear helmets. I mean, like, it would make sense that they would be wearing helmets because they probably can't survive in our atmosphere with our germs and shit. But you don't hear that very often. So I'm wondering, like, oh, could this one be chalked up to potentially some sort of secret?
Wait,
like
did
you
say they were
operation?
Wearing masks with flexible pipes? So I would assume that's some kind of
coming out of them.
That's some kind of respirator.
Like respirator. Yeah.
Okay.
But like that's not seen too often, I don't think, right? So like but think about like modern day flight suits and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Anytime right? after 2020, anybody comes to Earth, they're gonna be wearing fucking breathing. All right.
Yeah, like, we're at about 100%
this shit.
Good story. Good UFO encounter. What do we got next?
Theorite of the week.
Theorite of the week. Yes, that's right. Let's bring it in. This week we're giving it to Brandon Imada, who may or may not be a two-time. I can't remember. May or may not be a two-time theorite of the week.
Two-time.
And I finally made it. I can retire because I got this. My face on Giorgio Tsoukalos's classic meme, instead of saying
the
aliens, though, it says.
Is.
Yeah, the only reason you can retire is because you keep taking people's wallets, you bastard.
It just says interdimensional. Perfect.
Listen, we all know from Nerds 11, you can't retire. All right.
You thought you could get rid of me until about 3 minutes into that one, and it was 40 minutes of you trying to figure out how to get the audio working.
Yeah, I think it turned out great.
That was great. It was perfect. Great job. Anyways, Brandon Amata, Theorite of the Week. If you would like to be Theorite of the Week, you just got to send us something that makes us laugh and shares it. If we share it in our personal group, it's a good front runner for Theorite of the Week. And most of them come from the Facebook group or our Discord. So check it out. Go to our Facebook page and check. There's only one group on there. You can't miss it. It's the official Theorite group, and post any memes you got in there. Got one more thing for tonight. If you're one of those beauties that decide to support the show.
Big time beauties.
Big time beauties. We're going to read your name at the end of the episode. It's a little theme music behind it.
Best part.
This is my favorite part.
This is the best part.
Theorite supporting this past week. Trent Degioa. Oh my fuck. I don't know. Trent Degioa. Degioia. Whatever. You know who you are. We appreciate it. Sawyer Das. Zachary Cunningham. Guillermo Rojas. I believe that's a
nice roll.
I believe somewhat. I recognize a name they supported for a bit. They canceled, and now they're back. So welcome back. Appreciate it. Ryder Baker went up. Woo! Brittany Holton. Corey Listacci. Samantha Cousins. Bradley Prezeris. Mowat and Javier Jimenez. You are the newest patrons of the week. If you want to support your boards, support your boys, support your favorite show, head over to patreon.com/alientheoristpodcast or check the description of this episode and you'll find the link. Easy. Anything else we got to say for this week? Or are we done?
Yeah, don't forget about Cosmic Channels, 6:30 Sunday.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
And as we always say at the end of these things, keep those eyes on the skies.
Peace, everybody.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.